I'm Athol Duncan, one of the executive directors of ICAS. Every day in my work for the Institute, I see that the wisdom and experience of our CAs is like gold dust. Our mentoring programme aims to spread that gold dust from CA to CA. A great example of that is a conversation I had recently with four senior members: Leslie Wilson of Johnson Carmichael, Margaret Laidlaw from Mazars, Jim Boyle from Deloitte, and Chris Horn from Campbell Dallas.
I'll kick off then. Johnson Carmichael's actually got a formal promotion process at partner director and senior manager level, with one promotion point in the year and with a criteria form that we use. That's been on the go for about 8 years, I guess. And the nominations come from the office managing partners and heads of business lines. They get the local partners behind them. And favoured candidates also do an application form for themselves. And they're interviewed by the Chief Exec and Policy Board, and a development plan and objectives are set for the year and 2 years ahead. Now, the criteria that are looked at are, and it's a balanced scorecard approach that we take. It's somebody who's technically good, and a safe pair of hands, who can complete a complex assignment without much partner support, whose quality of work is proven, no PI claims, no risk situations, no poor internal review reports. So there's the technical piece. There's business development, having an external and an internal profile, bringing in business and using our specialists well. Leading, actually stepping forward and leading a part of our business, which could be a sector or a technical specialist area. I'm sorry, I'm probably going on a wee bit here, but
we've got a whole range.
We've got a commercial bit where somebody's financial statistics are good and acceptable. Someone can value bill and sell a fee and is making a good contribution to their office. Someone who looks and acts like a partner, professional, smart, and has enough social skills. Someone who's a good people manager with good 360-degree feedback. Someone who's got good client care demonstrated with, you know, client service questionnaire results, very favourable, and the behaviours are right. That's last but not least, the behaviours are right. Someone with a positive can-do attitude, who's innovative, resilient, creates a positive atmosphere around them and really lives by our core values. Does that help? That's a basic rundown of the criteria on our partner nomination form.
That's very helpful. Margaret Laidlaw at Mazars, I would imagine it's similar criteria that you're looking for.
Yeah, it was interesting actually, because I think most of the things Leslie said are very similar to the things that we're looking for. There was a couple of things, and I think Leslie said them in maybe more detail, but a role model, someone who is looked at within the business as a role model, is someone you would aspire to help you throughout your career. And also just on the risk side of things, someone who is able to assess risk well and ensure that they deal with risk matters in the most appropriate way are probably the only other couple of things I would add in. But Leslie covered most of it, I think.
And if you're trying to develop people to partner level, what are the obstacles they have to overcome? Where are the points that people maybe stall a little bit and need a help? Is it round about the leadership, moving from being a manager to a leader? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we think back to our own careers, that's certainly one of the milestones that you have to sort of... I can remember myself where... being able to ensure that the success is the team success. It's, you know, there reaches a point when it's not down to what you can do yourself. It's the success of your team, or, you know, albeit that could be a small team or a much larger team. So I think there does reach a point where it's about leadership and ensuring that people know the direction that you're going in and that you're able to take them with you. I think probably there reaches that point.
Jim Boyle at Deloitte, what is your advice to help people, to coach people to move up to the partner level?
I guess my top tip would be to find yourself a mentor, someone inside or outside your firm, someone you respect, someone you trust, and someone you can learn from. I think we've already touched on how the role develops from being an outstanding client server and managing discrete project teams and clients to actually becoming a leader, someone that is managing a business and helping to grow the business. And it's not something you flick a switch overnight and you suddenly go from one camp to the other. I think I'd recommend starting cutting your teeth on things like practice management, business development at an early stage. I think you often see people develop a bit of an irrational fear about going out and building the business. And it's not going out and selling in a kind of door-to-door salesman way. It's about developing relationships. And I always articulate it to our people as, look, you have proven over the 10 years or whatever to date with your firm that you're outstanding at building and developing relationships. All the business development is building new relationships with people that you don't know yet. So don't be afraid of it. And I think final tip is just be honest about your fears and development areas rather than try and hide them. So actively seek out opportunities to take them on at an early stage.
And when you're looking at people who are newly qualified, Jim, can you spot in them partner potential from quite an early age?
In a lot of cases, you can. I think it's usually that someone that just they appreciate that we're not just delivering on a number of discrete client projects. They understand that they are playing part of a wider business. They get the client relationship, and they appreciate the need that it's not just a 1 week or 2 weeks a year relationship. It's all year round. So you do get some people that from an very early stage show those signs that need to be nurtured and developed. I think there are others that are probably slower burners. And when I was going through our partner admission process, I was always told that it's a marathon, not a sprint, and people develop at different paces. And I think that's very true today. So some people show it as soon as they're qualified that they have potential. Others develop it over the 5, 6, 7 years post-qualifying.
And Chris Horn at Campbell Dallas, what would your advice be to newly qualifieds who are trying to develop themselves, trying to become partner potential? What are you looking for?
I think I would echo what Jim was saying about the mentorship program. I think getting absolute clarity on what the role of a partner actually is within your own organisation is important if it's somewhere you want to go. I think we've had experience of some people who, without necessarily asking the questions, had a result, quite unrealistic expectations for themselves to become a partner. And I think actually taking some time to really understand what the role of the partner is, the other guys have outlined what those roles are, and making a conscious effort to work towards that is probably the key thing. Sometimes I think I ended up where I ended up by accident without necessarily driving where I wanted to get to. And I think now there's so much more support available. And Leslie outlined it in the Johnson Carmichael process. There's so much more support out there that the people should be more able to have a clear path from where they currently sit in their organisation to the partner level. Whereas before, I think it used to be a bit of dead person's shoes or wait until an opportunity presented itself. I think people need to just consistently show the correct attitude and work towards build the skills that the job needs.
And you say, Chris, you maybe got there by accident. If you were having to change anything that you'd done in your career, roundabout putting yourself forward or skilling yourself for partnership, can you think of anything that you might have changed?
Yeah, I think for me it was understanding that destination. A lot of my career development was about doing the things that I had historically done but slightly better. And there's no doubt in my mind that the change to becoming a partner is a mindset change, it's an attitude change, it's far more about performing in a broad church and with a balance of different agendas. And Campbell Dallas has four goals, and those four goals have deliberately got a tension between them. So one is financial strength and one is happy clients. Sometimes to hit the financial strength button, you have to bill clients more than you had historically thought or so on. And I think it's really understanding the mindset. So the one advice I would give, I suppose, to my younger self was to have a bit more understanding of what the destination of my journey was. It always seemed to me to be a bit of the same as last year, plus a little bit. And actually, it was when I joined Campbell Dallas and had more meaningful exposure to the partnership group, as it became clear that it was different effort as opposed to just more effort that was required. And actually learning on the development areas, again, as Jim outlined earlier, building in the development areas that were inevitably there in myself, rather than just keeping doing the things that I was good at, because which was going to end up with me pigeonholed as a specialist.
And Leslie Wilson at Johnston Carmichael, do you have any tips for people what they should avoid? What doesn't work well in the firms when you're looking for new partners?
Well, with us, when I mentioned the balanced scorecard approach that we take, which is a genuine balanced scorecard, but it's not what people are doing, but it's also how they go about doing it. So, you know, for example, my last point on my list was behaviours. It's last but not least. You know, yes, being positive and having a can-do attitude and all of that, but not causing carnage in your wake. You know, this is, Margaret mentioned, this is a team game here, you know, so, you know, it's people getting ahead, but not at the expense of others around them. So it's making sure that they're doing things in a positive way and taking people with them.
Margaret, would you echo those thoughts?
Yeah, I think so. I think, I don't know, things you would avoid is a more difficult one, probably. I think if something doesn't feel right, so if the firm doesn't feel culturally the right fit for you, if something doesn't feel right with regard to your own personal values and what you believe in, then you shouldn't go that route. And I think always standing by that, like your gut feel is a good measure, I think, for most of us on what feels right. So I think it would avoid trying to mirror what someone else has done. So stand up and be your own person and do it your way and sort of push yourself out with your comfort zone at the earliest stage you can, just to take on new responsibilities that people might think you're capable of and you're perhaps not sure if you are. So I think, you know, avoid doing it the way other people have necessarily done it. Do it your own way.
And Jim, it's very much about people being able to see the whole of the business, being able to raise their sights a bit and see what's going on in the external environment, not just in their particular area of the business. Is that stuff that you're keen on?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a large part of the job is delivery focused up to partner and delivering on your client. And I'd encourage everyone to raise their head and look at what's happening elsewhere. Understand the client's business as far as possible and what their challenges are. Understand the firm that you're working in and all of the broader capabilities. And I think if I look back over my career, one of the things that with hindsight I would have quite liked to have done at an early stage in my career is a client perspective, because it's, I think, particularly when you've spent all or most of your career in the profession, it's sometimes good to see that balance of things from a client eye perspective, and just I would encourage people never to forget how they're looked at through their client's eyes, and appreciate what is and isn't important to your client.
And Chris Horn at Campbell Dallas, what about, obviously you need the technical skills, but what about some of the softer stuff, the networking, the presentational skills? How important are they when you're looking for partners?
I think the soft skills as a heading are vital, and I think that's what separates people who are very good senior managers to the people who are going to succeed at partner level. Not just the presentation skills and the personal impact training, which can to some extent be taught, but actually, re-echoing Jim's point, understand what a client wants to hear. A client's paying us to provide them with advice and support, and you need to know what your client exactly needs from you. A number of my partners have spent times outside the profession, and that gives the rest of us a very good insight as to what kind of agenda and what level of dialogue they expect. One of the other things we're doing is we are allowing all our CA trainees originally, and we're now extending it to all trainees going through ACCA and everything else, 20 hours of partner time in client meetings. Mm-hmm. So they're not actually, they're just sitting in the room listening to the way the partner interacts with the client. The client knows they're there just to listen and learn, but I think so many of the generation coming up through the profession has got such a hard task, almost focused on passing all their exams and getting the correct exposure, that sometimes they forget that the clients are not accountants. And sometimes you have to speak to the business owner as well as the finance director, and they need to be able to have a personal chemistry there that is quite hard to teach. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that through osmosis, our students will start to understand what's required more clearly of a partner in Campbell Dallas.
So finally, if I could just go around, can you distill it into maybe just two or three sentences if you had a young person that you were mentoring? What are the two, three sentences you would give to them about the must-dos if they were looking to convince you that they were to become a partner in your firm? Leslie, sorry to put you on the spot, but do you want to go first?
I think if I was giving advice to youngsters coming through who had ambitions to be partner, I would say get very good at what you do. And that's the whole piece. It's the client relationships, it's the people management, etc. I would say listen and accept as much feedback as you can get to help you get even better at what you do. And I would say, I would echo what Margaret said. I would encourage people to step out of their comfort zone, because the people I see promoted round about me are the ones who've actually done that and done something different than you and taken a chance and led on something. So that would be my advice.
Excellent. Margaret, what's your summary?
I would say, firstly, to take ownership and responsibility for their workload in the area of the business is probably the first thing. I think the second thing is to build their network at an early stage, the earliest stage possible. So as soon as they start their training, start building their own network of contacts and referrers. And then I suppose just stand up for what they believe in. Probably the final thing, like stand by your values, what you're taught.
Jim Boyle at Deloitte, if I was to be in a lift with you, hoping to become a partner, what would be your lift conversation with me in three or four sentences, your sage advice?
I guess three key things for me, and reiterating some of what's been said already, is get a mentor, absolutely number one priority. Push yourself, manage your own internal and external stakeholder relations, and manage your own personal brand. And depending on the firm and the process, understand the process and understand the roadmap to where you want to get to, and break it into discrete stepping stones, and make sure you've got a development plan and objectives right along the way. It's not something that you suddenly wait a year off when partner promotion might be an opportunity, and you suddenly wake up one morning and think, okay, what do I have to do differently? It's about understanding the roadmap 2, 3, 4 years out, and making sure that you're continually moving along that.
Chris Horn at Campbell Dallas, what's your summary of if you were talking to your mentee?
I think definitely getting a mentor, someone who knows what the destination looks like. And then for me, it's about aligning your own personal career journey with your business's vision for the future. I think too many people don't know where their own business is going, and therefore find it hard to let anyone know that they're on the bus, as it were. So I think getting complete clarity on what's expected of you and retesting yourself continually that you are on that journey with the organisation. I think it goes without saying, work hard, be good, listen. And I think I would also kind of say, in a mentor half, it's about the mentor listening as well. So for me, it's just about clarity of destination and clarity of steps getting there.
Thank you all very much. Thanks, everyone. That was very good of you.
If you're interested in participating in the ICAST Career Mentoring Programme, either as a mentor or as a mentee, please go to the homepage of the ICAST website and click the mentoring button. Look out for other recordings when we'll be discussing working overseas, becoming a finance director, and moving from FD to a CEO or MD role. We hope you'll enjoy listening to these.